Our reading for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 14, one of Jesus' great parables. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." You may be seated. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the largest publisher of wedding invitations is right here in our community in North Mankato, Carlson Craft. On their website, they claim that they have 1,756 options for wedding invitations. If you picked out a different type of ink or font size, you could probably take 10 times that or more. They've done an enormous business. Some claim that Carlson Craft, just printing wedding invitations, takes 50% of the business of wedding invitations in the United States. 50%. That's just amazing. They claim 80% of the business for wedding invitations just in Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, and North Dakota. That's a lot of wedding invitations going out. In our day and age, we now also have a save the date card that often kind of goes ahead of the wedding invitation, maybe a month or two ahead of time, just to get people to put it on their calendar. That concept, which is kind of new in my lifetime, is actually closer to what it was like in Jesus' day. People would often send out a general wedding invitation for a particular day, and then when the feast was actually ready and prepared to go, a servant would go to your house, especially if it was a wealthier family throwing the wedding party. A servant would go to your house and then directly invite you to come and often help you travel as well to the actual feast. And Jesus uses this custom in Palestine of his day to give us kind of a picture, if you will, of what God's invitation is like for us to come to heaven through the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. By faith in him, God invites us now to come believe in Christ so that we can come to heaven someday. And Jesus is using this parable, which again it means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He teaches us this parable in order to keep our hearts fixed on how important this invitation is to us that comes to us through the preaching of the gospel, the good news about our Savior. Now, our earthly concerns that we have in this life can so often get in the way of us treating this invitation to the banquet of heaven. The earthly concerns we have can kind of get in the way of us treating that with respect or with the honor that it is due. Notice in the story that Jesus gives some excuses that are given for not coming to this banquet. None of them are big bad things. It's not like people said, "I'm going to go rob a bank," or "I'm going to go do drugs," or "I'm going to go to a whorehouse," or something. These are normal, mundane, everyday things that have to be done. Okay, one guy says, "Well, I've got a new piece of property. We're supposed to be good stewards and managers of the things God has given us. There's nothing wrong with that by itself." Another guy says, "I have to take care of an animal, part of his business probably as a farmer." Well, we all have obligations with our jobs and duties, even here on this campus. And finally, the last one says, "Well, I just got married." Well, that's quite an obligation to now take care of your bride, your family, a spouse, children, whatever. So the things that are used as excuses in Jesus' parable are really pretty regular stuff, mundane, everyday things, stuff that comes up in our day-to-day lives. But isn't that exactly the point? I know for myself, It's all the stuff about this world and this earthly life that I'm living that can start to cause me to push aside God's invitation and to start forgetting about how important heaven is and my Savior and having faith in Him and repenting of my sins and all of that. I can start to push that aside because I've got so much to do in my regular everyday life. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is making. If all of us are honest with ourselves, there are times in our lives, and maybe even long periods in our lives, when we have taken God's wonderful invitation to come to heaven and kind of set it on the shelf as if it's not that important. And Jesus would have us learn a lesson from the very audience to whom this parable was spoken. Jesus was speaking this to an audience that was primarily Jewish. They had been blessed as Hebrews, Old Testament believers. They had been blessed to have the temple worship, the scriptures in their midst. Prophets were sent to them. They had a lot of advantages. They were the spiritual people of their day. And yet so many of them, when Christ arrives on the scene, they don't have any time for Him. They got so many other things going on in their life. And God finally, to them as a people, and He warned them about this in His word, finally took that invitation away because of how it was mishandled in their midst. And that's the lesson for us today too. If we think that we can kind of put God off for a while, that grabbing hold of this invitation and maybe instead treating it like it's not that important and setting it aside in our hearts, if we think that that's going to be okay, God is warning us that He may just rescind it. He may just finally, ultimately, take it away. He says, "Come, for all things are now ready." This is the message He wants His servants to take out to the people who've been invited. Come now. All things are now ready. Notice, there's not more that the guests have to do. Okay, when God comes and invites you to come to heaven through what Christ has done, He's taken care of it all. He doesn't come to you and say, "By the way, I need you to come and help work on a few things before we can have the wedding feast." God doesn't put qualifications on you to get you to heaven. He doesn't come to you and say, "You know what, Jesus took care of 50% of it or 80% of it, but 20% of it's up to you. You better live your life good. You better do this, you better do that. And if you don't, you're never going to see that wedding feast." God doesn't have any strings attached to His invitation. It's free. It's already done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every sin you've ever committed before God in your life has already been atoned for and paid for through the work of His Son. About 4 years ago, the cost of a wedding in the United States, they claim the average cost was about $25,000. I hope you don't have a lot of daughters. Well, I hope you do, but the average cost of a wedding today, they claim in 2015, is $31,000. Now, despite the fact that supposedly we're in an economic slowdown, in the last 4 years, the cost of a wedding has gone up $6,000. That's a lot of money to spend on one event. When it comes to the cost of the wedding feast and banquet that God invites you to, it's already been done and taken care of through Christ. God doesn't come and expect you to contribute more to it. And the Father's heart, who sends out this invitation, has now turned that invitation to you. Listen. "Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.'" The heart of the Father who's sending out this invitation for His Son's wedding and wants you to be there is looking for sinful people who struggle with their sins. The poor, the maimed, the blind, those who might even be considered outcast and despised by society. There are going to be some surprises in heaven. There are going to be people sitting next to us at the wedding feast who maybe we wouldn't have expected to be there, but heard the invitation, repented of their sins, and held on to the grace of God in Christ. And because of that, we'll be sitting by our side. God's invitation to you today goes out and comes into your ears through my sinful mouth. He sends that invitation out for you to come to heaven, to believe in Christ, without any stipulations or connections or strings attached. He says, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. So right now today, in your heart and in your conscience and in your memory, there might be some reason that you're thinking, well, that applies to everybody else in this room, but not to me. And I'm here to tell you that is not the case. You're lying to yourself if you think that. God's invitation, because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you, is for you. Hear it and believe it. Come, for all things are now ready. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me in a prayer. Take out your hymn book, if you would, and turn to page 85. Excuse me, page 158. Page 158, collect number 85. Page 158. And let us rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your holy word, you have called us to your great supper. And we beseech you, enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom, and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.